and requesting more international funding for HIV treatments will be tough for many of the countries that need them. Unfortunately, UN resources for HIV are 6% lower in 2021 than they were in 2022. So this is a great example of what we refer to here on Noise Filter. We've talked about it dozens of times, mm-hmm. is the idea that capitalism continually, and the profits and the need to drive capitalism constantly interfere with the actual protection of people.
Yeah.
And it's just another example, you know, no need to go on about it. We've done so many, many times before on this program. It's just, you know, unfortunately, as a society, we do not look out for one another as I wished that we did. I mean, there's still a number of countries around the world that still haven't had adequate access to COVID vaccines. And now we've moved on. And now we are looking at monkeypox and then and polio, you know, and now we have a great drug. It's twice a month. This drug, eventually, once the 6 month drug comes out, you're going to see this is going to go for pennies now because everybody's going to want the drug that lasts 6 months.
Right.
Not the one that right now, this is the brand new shiny one.
Yeah.
That I guarantee you, because I saw it with the HIV world, once, you know, some of these drugs that were really, really slick were so expensive, but you had to take them a couple times a day. But then all of a sudden, newer drugs that you had to take once a day came out. All those drugs suddenly, miraculously, were able to drop their prices significantly lower. Once we see the, this is made by Viv, once we see the drug is being made by Gilead, that apparently is looking like it's going to be a 6 month. Imagine being able to go in and get like a little tiny injection on your forearm, it's not even injections, a little subcutaneous on your forearm that protects you for 6 months from HIV protection. It's going to drop cases of HIV.
Yeah.
But we need to make lots of it so that we don't allow the virus to transmit. So some good news here in terms of where we're headed. And, you know, once we're at 6 months, can we push it to 12 months? That would be incredible. So, but we just need to have these things priced so that countries can afford them, or that we are committed as a global community to be able to allow all individuals to have access to these incredibly important therapies.
Right. Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast. Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.
You are tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programmings of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website, kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Governance and Policy Committee meets quarterly on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify that a meeting is being held.
KBOO's Board of Directors is delighted to invite all KBOO members to the annual membership meeting and Board of Directors elections. The meeting will be held on Saturday, September 17th at 1 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street, Portland. A Zoom link and call-in access will be provided to those who are unable to attend in person. This is the opportunity for all members to meet the candidates, get station updates, and make their voices heard. Again, that's KBOO's annual membership meeting and board of directors elections, Saturday, September 17th at 1 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/meeting2022.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The following program is a rebroadcast. For all of KBOO's archived audio, please visit our website at kboo.fm.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio, Low Res Edition. Stay tuned as we bring you music, educational things, and much more.
Faster than time. John. No Indian come from India, a true native mommy come from Arizona. Original and Lord that we claim, we tell you most natives them not the same. No Indian come from India, a true native mommy come from Arizona. Original and Lord that we claim, we tell you most natives them not the same. Mango tree, who made the mountains, who parted the sea, Ja, the time is now, me come to seek Ja Ja Man. They say he sent to us his only begotten son, the Lion of Utah, he come once again. This has been written from beginning to end. You must take heed and listen to words I speak. Satan is here to inherit the weak. No Indian come from India, a true native mommy come from Arizona. Original and boy that me claim, you tell your most natives them not the same. No Indian take a mommy come from Arizona. Original and or that we claim. We tell you most natives we're not the same. We're not the same. We're all the same.
The human beings. We come from the earth, the metals, minerals, and waters of the earth are our bone, flesh, and blood. We are the children of earth, human. We come from the sky. We are the children of the stars, the moon, the sun, the light, being, human being. The people, we are borrowing the present from the future and from the past. This borrowing is our responsibility, our purpose. In our living evolution, this changing of season, a time for gathering thoughts and goodness, the power of living in all our relations.
Just having a mirage here on the desert, thought I saw TV cameras in front of me. I'd like to introduce now a new talent on the show, a man that I met that gave me my name, Lahunje, means black spirit. He's an Indian brother, Iroquois Nation, Mr. Charlie Hill. Please welcome me.
Hi, how are ya? Hi, how are ya? Hi, how are ya? Hi, how are ya? I usually have problems doing my act, you know, because I know a lot of you white people never seen an Indian do stand-up comedy before, you know. Like, for so long, you probably thought that Indians never had a sense of humor, you know. We never thought you were too funny either. See some people back there putting their chairs in a circle. My name is Charlie Hill, Sagoli. I'm Oneida. I'm from Wisconsin. It's part of your Iroquois Nation. My people are from Wisconsin. We used to be from New York. We had a little real estate problem. I came out here, Los Angeles, a few years ago. I don't drink, so, no, don't drink. Fire water to Indians, that's just like kryptonite. Here, drink this, sign this, move here. You know what I mean? Indians. You know, people come up to me now, too, and they say, can you speak Indian? And there are like over 300 different tribes. You know, can you speak Indian? It's like saying, hey, can you speak Caucasian? But that's the name they give us, Indians. That's Indians was the name Christopher Columbus gave us, which is incorrect. He named us Indians because he thought he was in India, you know. I'm sure glad he wasn't looking for turkey. It changed a lot of things. Columbus discovered America. They taught me that when I was a kid. Columbus discovered Indians, you know. That was my education. You see, like black people, Indians were driven to all white schools, you see. Except the black people got the buses, the Indians were just driven. I went to Custer Memorial Junior High, you know. Tell me about, you know, a lot of things I couldn't relate to, you know. Like the pilgrims, they weren't my forefathers, you know. Yes. Pilgrims came to this land 400 years ago as illegal aliens. You know? You know, we used to call them whitebacks. You know, they started unloading the boats, building houses, you know, on the East Coast. First thing we asked, you guys gonna stay tonight? Doesn't that just burn you up when people come over and they never leave? Yeah, we'll leave after Thanksgiving, you know. You know, people celebrate that every year, Thanksgiving. You have a lot of holidays. This is Indians country. There's no Indian holidays. There's Thanksgiving, Columbus Day, and everything. Oh, no, there's one holiday we do celebrate with white people. It's Halloween. Every year we dress up like white people, you see. And we go door to door and we get anything we want, you know? Trick or treaty. It's a good crowd, damn. It's nice doing a TV shot. Maybe a couple more I'll be able to get in the movie someday. And maybe change some of the movie cliches, you know? You see every day in the movies where the settlers come in, gets the Indian loaded, and wants his resources, you know? Say, engine, which way does this road go? Road stay, you go. You don't understand. Someday we want to live together and love one another, like brothers and sisters. We cannot love the white eyes. It is painful to kiss forked tongue. I just have a dream that someday I will get into the movies, right? And then I will win an Academy Award, then I'll refuse it because of the mistreatment of Marlon Brando. Thank you.
Super India.
Super Indian. Big Bucks Serenade. At the Leaning Oak Bingo Hall, Hubert Logan picks up a discarded flyer.
Tonight only Big Bucks. Here? He's a public television superstar! Hooray!
Yes, it's another episode of Super Indian. General Bear holds back a frenzied throng of Big Buck fans.
I can't see, Mr. Logan. Flashbulbs burning my eyes.
Oh, who's this sweet little old gal?
Ah, Big Bucks. Well, you're not Indian, but I'm your biggest fan.
Big Bucks, careful. Elders sometimes bite. Hey, Hubert!
Hey.
You like my Secret Service look?
General Bear, just like Agent K and Men in Black, ain't it?
What's your name, sir?
I'm Hubert Logan. This is my grandmother, Flora Logan.
Well, then, you are pretty as a flower.
Okay.
I mean your grandma, not you, boy.
Oh.
My personal bodyguard, Vito, can escort this handsome woman to my tour bus. Vito, put her in the lounge. I want a private audience.
General Bear, did you see the way Big Bucks looked at my grandma?
Hubert, some guys like older women.
Gah, not like that, General Bear.
My canine senses tingle with dread at the thought of a Big Bucks concert.
Grrr. General Bear, the OG Bucks might try to steal Grandma's medicine. Let's suit up and make sure nothing bad happens.
Hey, can I keep these shades?
Meanwhile, outside the tribal complex, Big Bucks speaks in hushed tones into his cell phone.
Wampum. The medicine woman is penned up. I'm fixing to mesmerize the tribe. I'll call when it's done.
Vito, help me up to back this truck. All right, let's all head out to the tribal forest for tonight's concert!
Look, it's Super Indian and his super friends!
Excuse me, sir.
No one gets access to Big Bucks.
Whoa, are you from Sicily?
I'm Vito Cordellini from Idaho.
Vito, I need access to this tour bus now.
No way.
What do you know, Vito?
I got nothing to say.
Okay.
Bucks fluid is made from the trees in your tribal forest.
Huh?
It has special properties. Bucks plays the flute. You hear it? He owns you.
Vito, that's not all. Come on.
Super Indian, I have a sentimental weakness for that flute. It was a gift from your tribe to the Coeur d'Alene. My family was shocked to see Big Bucks on television playing the flute with such disrespect. I've gained his confidence. He thinks I'm Italian. Bucks has plans, my friends. He wants you to become slaves of wampum bags.
That's impossible. You lie, Vito.
Truth. Something you can't handle.
Okay, it's you and me right now.
Let's
Vito,
make
up there. We have to stop Big Bucks.
Huh?
Super Indian, in the spirit of peace, love, and fried bread, I'll stop hating Vito. Let's roll.
You're too late, Super Indian. Your grandma is already my mind slave. Wampum Bags can't wait to get his hands on you.
Super Indian, Mega Bear, put this wax in your ears. Always works for me. And don't worry about your dog. It won't affect him.
D.O.G., if we rig the PA system to feedback, the sound should enchant Bic, right?
Correct. Cross this output wire into the input.
Go ahead and play your flute, Bic Box. Ha!
No! What did you do to Miss Super Indian?
Is that what he sounds like without all that reverb?
Oh, my native melody is gone! Vito, help me!
Bic, is this how you address your Native American godfather?
No! You're not one of them!
Bucks, your days as a PBS pledge break, darling, are over. Vito!
Yeah.
Please, accept this flute as a gift to the Coeur d'Alene tribe.
Super Indian, Lim Lutch, thank you. Your enemies are my enemies.
D.O.G., it's okay. Vito is a friend.
D.O.G., sounds like someone from the old country.
Tune in next time for more Super Indian.
Super Indian.
A Native Voices at the Autry production.
Thank you. philosophy. I'm sure that you'll agree. There's mean things happening in this world. I ain't got a crying time. I'm not worried all the time. There's mean things happening in this world. There's mean things happening in this world.
Happening. My bam. Oral tradition.
to help those seed trees. I dispel the lies of man and fry the hand that feeds me. This hell is just a scam. The God that I am believes me. Creator made the land. I am the land, so Mother Earth breeds me. Spider weaves the story, so the web of life reads me. I can spell out the glory, so I spell L-O-V-E. Elders to oral traditions, this is where it leads me. Seven generations now, my spirit can't fly freely. We keeping it real with the medicine wheel, better than suffering and other than. We can't heal better than my skin and my blood. I bleed so the wound of a show you, my scar has sealed. We unifying our people as one. You the fly and the eagle and sun. New beginnings in the east have come. Bring me a baby, a daughter or son.
Oh grandpa, tell me a story about the good old days. Oh grandma, teach me to weave like the good old ways. Oh grandpa, tell me a story about the good old days. Oh grandma, teach me to weave like the good old ways.
Quest love, I do it for those who detest love. Warrior status while the rest of us rest up. Come now, 100 years has come now, and somehow red people are still backing gun sounds. Wake up to that fake stuff I'm bold with, that soul-ish. I'm social with that mad gab. My resistance is focused. The monument of existence isn't to be bought our soul, kids. The West was never one done to those who thought they stole it. You are not raving. That's not how story told it. That's not how stories journey. Woven head unfolded. You can't ask your grandma exactly how the old lived. I got the light and I hold it. You can't ask your grandpa exactly how the old lived. I got the light and I hold it.
Oh grandpa, tell me a story about the good old days. Grandma, teach me to weave like the good old ways. Oh, Grandpa, tell me a story about the good old days. Oh, Grandma, teach me to weave like the good old ways.
You know where we come from? From the east.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio here on KBOO Portland. 6 years of Indigenous programming here on KBOO, and we love every minute of it. It's been a wild journey bringing you Indigenous content for the last 6 years with interviews, music, and so much more. Adding co-hosts such as Nick and Alicia and Ender and so many other amazing friends that we've made along the way. It has truly been an amazing journey, and we look forward to another 6 years here at KBOO. We want to thank everybody for listening. We're so grateful to have such a supportive and wonderful audience who talks to us through social media or email, and we really appreciate hearing from you and knowing that we've helped you either find a new artist that you enjoy or learn something new about history that you maybe didn't know before, that you wouldn't hear before. It's really been a treat to also receive emails and messages from folks who have maybe moved away from their res or their hometowns, tuned into our little show, and messaged us saying, I'm so happy I got to hear a piece of my home on the radio. I haven't heard my language on the radio before, or it's been so good to hear these songs and it makes me feel like home again. So that's also just been such a powerful thing for us. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, you can go to kboo.fm/give. We are in aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online to kboo.fm/give, or you can mail your contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Thanks again for listening, and here's some more music. Enjoy. We will now be listening to a TEDx talk done by Winona LaDuke titled Seeds of Our Ancestors, Seeds of Life. Enjoy.
Anin Nindawe Maganaduk, Ngagwe Gitamagas, Bine Sikwe Dugo Makwa and Odeam. Gawababani Kog, Ishkaniganing, and Nunjaba, Nguich. Greeting you in Ojibwe, as you probably gathered, a language from this Oma'a king here. And I'm thanking you very much for the honor of being here. I'm telling you, I'm from White Earth up north, my reservation. I'm calling you my relatives. I wanted to start like that because I thought about what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, which is that food for us comes from our relatives, whether they have wings or fins, or roots. And indeed, that is how we consider food. Food has a culture, it has history, it has stories, it has relationships that tie us to our food. Food is more than something you just buy at the store, something that just doesn't have a stamp on it. In our community, we are told long time ago by our prophets, our Anishinaabeg people lived on the eastern seaboard. And we're related to those people out there, the Wampanoags and others. And we were instructed by our prophets that we should follow a shell which appeared in the sky. And in following that shell, we would arrive at the place where the food grows upon the water. And that food that grows upon the water is manomen, or wild rice. So we were instructed by the Creator to move here. Oma'a came to this place. And our wild rice, our manomen, is our most sacred food. It is the food that is first food given to a child when they can eat solid. It is last food before you pass into the spirit world. As for all our feasts and all our ceremonies, it is very important to us. And we as you know, we fought hard and long to keep our rice and to keep it good. This is a picture of Nokomis and Nana Buju. That's our spirit beings from who we descend, making wild rice. And this is my community today. Do pretty much the same thing as we did for 1,000 years. We got an aluminum canoe now instead of a birch bark. Hard to get trees that size these days. But we still rice. And then the month that is called Manomen Ake Gizis, Wild Rice Making Moon, August into September, you'll see our people go out on the lakes. And we feel a great joy when we go out there with our two sticks in a canoe, go out there and harvest the rice. Sometimes it's tall or short or fat or skinny or looks like a bottle brush or looks all punked out. It's diverse. And that's how we can keep it, because when a wind comes through, blows off some of the rice, doesn't blow off other rice. There's great diversity, you know, in that. We still parch it the same way over a fire. You can dance on your rice and your new moccasins and do pretty much the same thing for all these years. And that defines us as Anishinaabeg people. Our story of our relationship to food is similar to the relationship that other people have to their foods. This is Jerry Kononui on the big island of Hawaii. And this is kalo, or taro. There's about 80 varieties of taro that exist in Hawaii. And they refer to it as part of their cosmogenealogy. I never heard that word until I was over there. And what they said is that in their original stories, in their original beings, the sky and the stars had a child. And the first child born was a son named Kalo. And he is born stillborn. And they buried that child. And then the mother cried. And when she cried, from that child and from the ground emerged Kalo, or Taro. As the elder stillborn, the younger child that was born was Kane, or the Hawaiian. And so they consider that the taro is their elder brother. And so it is not surprising that they, like the Ojibwe people, as you may know, we fought the genetic engineering of our wild rice. Also the patenting of our wild rice. It will not surprise you that the Native Hawaiians also fought against the genetic engineering of their cosmogenealogy, of their older relative, and fought the patenting. I like to call this picture white men can't dance. What it has to do, these people are doing, it's like a haka. They're summoning their ancestors in their dance to come forward and to help them to face off with the enemy, in this case, genetic engineering, and the University of Hawaii. And they're facing a bunch of white guys in suits at the University of Hawaii, are probably a little concerned with the arrival of the Hawaiians here. And in this case, the Hawaiians defeated them, both on the patenting issue. The patents were torn up at this meeting on the food itself. And they also, in Hawaii, they have a ban on the Big Island of Hawaii on the genetic engineering of taro, one of the first and only places in the country that such a ban has been maintained. But our peoples are very concerned about our relatives and our responsibility to keep them. There's a similar story that is told with the Maori people of Aotearoa, also known as New Zealand. I'm not sure what was new about it, but anyway. So they have this potato there called Peru Peru, which has the highest level of Andean genetics of any potato in the Pacific. Andean meaning that it is from South America. And thousands of years ago, seafaring Maoris went to South America and brought this potato back before any petroleum or Captain Cook or anybody. And they had this potato, and they grow this potato. And so as you can imagine, when the universities in New Zealand wanted to genetically engineer these potatoes, they again were faced with the Maoris, who said, we don't think that's a good idea. We don't want you to do that, and we're going to oppose you. And they won. There are no genetically engineered potatoes there. And in that, they reestablished a relationship with the Aymara people from Peru area, who thanked them for protecting their sacred food as well. So these stories are worldwide issues on the challenges that our relatives face, whether it is genetic engineering or whether it is patenting. But perhaps the more prominent issue that we are facing is, in fact, the extinction of species of foods in themselves. Over the past 100 years, you've seen a 75% decline in agrobiodiversity. That is to say, the species of seeds, vegetables, common things that existed 100 years ago do not exist today. Many of them extinct, whether in Canada or in the United States or on a worldwide scale. And increasingly, you're seeing that today, for instance, the vast majority of corn that is grown here in this country has one genetic ancestor. This is something that is a little bit frightening. In addition to that, we are seeing that there is a more concentration of the ownership of these seeds themselves by fewer and fewer. This has big implications for our peoples. My community, the White Earth Reservation in northern Minnesota, on our reservation, 1/3 of the population served by Indian Health Service has diabetes. That diabetes is caused by the rapid transition from a traditional food to industrialized foods. And increasingly, that is occurring across this country, where dietary-related illnesses are becoming dominant sources of ill health in this country and in themselves. Has a huge health impact, this loss of access to our traditional foods. Because today, they're saying that we get the vast majority of our calories from less than 30 varieties of foods, concentration in fewer and fewer. And a lot of them, of course, kind of greasy in themselves. Then there is an economic issue. You could look at it a couple ways. One, concentration of ownership of seeds in a few corporations. Increasingly, farmers who held these seeds and had the cultural patrimony, rights, relationship, and the wealth in themselves are being deprived of that by patenting laws and increasing ownership. About 7 corporations control almost all the seeds that are commercially available in the world. Yeah? In our own communities, though, this is a problem in itself. My reservation, you know, our Ojibwe people, totally self-sufficient until pretty recently on food. That is to say, before 100 years ago, we were the northernmost corn producers in the world. We pushed corn 100 miles north of Winnipeg. many varieties, a multitude of sources. Maple syrup, that was us way before Aunt Jemima, you know? All those foods we had in our community, yeah? But today, we don't produce most of those foods. So my reservation, which is stricken with a good deal of poverty, you know, as many other Indian reservations, we find that we spend about $8 million a year on food, and of that, we spend $7 million, like that, off-reservation, purchased Walmart, Food Service of America, Cisco, et cetera. If you look at it, it's almost, and what you buy on the reservation, you end up buying just a little bit that is in the food stores there, and what the vast majority of the food stores there sell is junk food. You know, good food not accessible. In that, that food economy represents about one quarter of our tribal economy, which is lost down the drain through different sources, something which could be a source of wealth for us in our community. I don't know how to quantify the cultural grief associated with loss of your most ancient varieties. I don't know what that price tag is, but I know that it is significant, you know, what is happening to our peoples. But it is not just what is happening to our community, it's what the future is going to look like for all of us. Because we're sitting in Minneapolis today and it's 100 degrees out. That is climate change, is what is going on here. You've got floods in parts of the country, you got a good portion of the country is on fire right now, right? You got tornadoes coming down. They are saying that over the next 20 years, we're going to spend 20% of world GDP on climate change-related disasters. And amidst that, we have a food system that is increasingly concentrated in both its monoculture and its ownership. They're projecting a 34% loss in corn crop in North Dakota. And what I am concerned about is the fact that we don't have all the seeds we could have at the table. What we have is a concentration and a rising sense of food insecurity. So we have some ideas on this. This is my community. We have this corn restoration project. This Bear Island Flint corn we've been working on for a long time. It's a good corn, and in that corn in itself, it came from Bear Island in the middle of Leech Lake. I got about this much from a seed grower. He gave it to me, and now we have fields of it. It grows about this tall, has big ears, doesn't require irrigation, frost resistant, and when a sear wind comes through, Monsanto's Roundup Ready corn tips over, but our corn is still standing. That is the corn we are looking at. The one in the middle, beautiful pink lady corn, kind of a magenta colored corn. I just like how it looks, tastes good too. And this other one, Pawnee Eagle corn. They say that the Pawnees were given corn from the corn mother, had this corn for all their time. And when they lived in Nebraska, they did good with their corn and their other people came, the settlers came to see them. And when the settlers came, they got on good with the Pawnees. They traded horses and had them fix their wagon wheels and various things. But the government forced the Pawnees to leave and go to Oklahoma. And when they went, they took their corn with them, but it did not grow. It did not grow. And so for many years, they grieved the loss of their corn, got less and less, till they just had like 25 different seeds. And then one day, the descendants of the settlers in Kearney, Nebraska, asked if they could help grow those corn varieties again. And they petitioned the Pawnees. Deb Echohawk, the Pawnee seed keeper, talked to the elders, and they said, we'll let them try, because we can't grow our corn. They sent that corn back to Nebraska, and that corn flourished. And their varieties flourished. And so the descendants of the settlers today grow the corn for the Pawnees. And what Deb told me was that the corn remembered the land it came from. It is a story. Corn has a history, it has a story, and in this case, it is a form of redemption. That is the work we are doing in our community. We're working to bring back our sugar bush. That's the first harvest of the season. That's my youngest son sucking the sap out of the tree, eating my profits. We like this, though. We feel good when we're in the sugar bush. And we are trying to grow back all our old varieties. This young man, that's a Lakota squash. And that squash in itself was given to me in October, and I ate it in May. Why am I telling you that? Because it's a perfect carbon-reduced food. It didn't require refrigeration. freezing or canning. It just hung out, was a squash, delicious that much later. Yeah? And so it's not just what you know, it's not just that you grow local food, it's also what you grow. Because it turns out a lot of these old varieties are higher in amino acids, antioxidants, protein, trace minerals than anything you can buy at the store. Now, I don't know why that is. What I figure is that in creating industrialized foods that they could move 1,500 miles from farmer to table, they created foods that could, would respond well to pesticides, were uniform, could be picked well with whatever equipment they were using, and would transport well. And somehow in that, I think that they lost some nutritional value, you know? And so these seeds are the endangered ones, but these are the ones that, in our theory, are the seeds not just for now, but are the seeds and the hopes for the future. Now, as I reflected what to talk to you about here tonight, I remembered that my father, he passed away about 15 years ago, but he used to tell me something, which, you're all pretty smart people, you're probably like me. He said, you know, Winona, you're a really smart young woman. He said, but I don't want to hear your philosophy if you can't grow corn. That's what he said. And there's something in that that was right. You know, we could be smart in our heads, but until we restore that relationship that we have with the foods that the Creator gave us, we're missing something, you know? We need to buy these foods locally. We need to support this. That's how you address climate change in itself. Go organic and local. Sequester your carbon. But more than that, to me, it is also about how we reestablish this relationship with our ancestors and our relatives, the ones that have roots. Miigwech, thank you.
Spent my summer in a van, St. Augustine to Michigan. Held my breath, said a prayer. All those people waiting there, I've been searching so long. It lived in me all along. Afraid. warrior.
Us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and for generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth, to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own. To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead. To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth, and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual.